And here we are for Off the Hook Overtime. We're getting the hang of this YouTube thing. It's taking a while, but I'd like to know, are people able to find us? Are you able to search for us? Is it a hassle to connect? That kind of thing. We're not YouTube experts, so any hints you can give us.
Can you summon it on your personal assistant?
Yeah.
Can you summon the stream on that's a skill. Maybe you have a particular YouTube-affiliated assistant that allows you to do that. Yeah, tell us. We want to know.
We can't know everything, and that certainly is true of this. OTH at 2600.com is our email address. Our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. Especially if you've never called us before. We'd love to hear from you. Please let us know. Gila, go ahead.
I have a question about tonight's picture.
Oh, yeah, you noticed that. The picture's different this week, isn't it?
The picture is different. What word is missing?
Do you really think that you could just ask that question and get an answer?
Nice try.
Yeah, very nice try.
I'm an eternal optimist.
The whole reason that's up there is so somebody can tell us what it says. Because I don't think anybody remembers what it said or ever knew what it said, but there's somebody someplace where that sign is local and the font, they'll recognize it and they'll be able to tell us what it is that will be removed. If you have no idea what we're talking about, well, I don't think you could be listening to us. Well, you'd have to look at the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I think they're looking at the YouTube channel if they're calling us with the answer because they've already heard the mystery that we're going to allow you to call in. What's that number again?
802-321-4225.
What does that mean, the last part?
4225 means hack. And please verify the phone is plugged in and that we can hear the ringer, because sometimes we forget to do that and people are calling and getting angry and we can't hear them. Alex, what are you doing? You're playing with your phone?
I have taken a screenshot of the picture and I'm just zooming in on it. I mean, it looks, obviously there's an S at the end there. So it's plural, or it's a word that ends in S. It looks like a B at the outset of that marred over word. So I'm gonna guess bills will be removed.
Well, I could use that for sure. I'd like my bills to be removed.
Sure.
You got any?
But yeah, I got a lot of bills.
By the gate, you know, that it's on. You know, that looks like something that would be, and there's some sort of stone edifice behind it. Probably something in the UK or Ireland again would be my guess.
I guess it's the equivalent of post no bills in this country.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Wow. All right, we have our first call. I was going to read some stories because we didn't get a chance to read any stories. We talked about the vaccine the whole hour, but I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting and hopefully helpful to people, and I'd love to know if anyone else has other words for us. We have a caller. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Good evening. I know it looks sort of like a B at the beginning, but I'm still thinking maybe it might be cars. Will be removed.
That's a big job, though, to remove a car, and that looks like such a tiny little sign telling you that your car.
Bikes then for B. Bikes will be removed.
Bikes will be removed.
Similar to the sort of signage that is by the some subway station on 23rd and maybe it's 8th or 7th, something like that, and there's a place where it would be convenient to lock up one's bike before going into the subway, but there's a sign.
I think I know the station you're talking about. I think I saw that sign. Wow.
That's a solid hypothesis with evidence.
Well, here's some more evidence, too, to support that. Somebody didn't want this to be removed, whatever it is that they're threatening to remove, and the bike lobby is pretty powerful, so I would imagine somebody, I mean, who cares about bills, but people do care about bikes, and they wiped out that word. That's my theory.
I called for a different reason, however.
Hopefully, yes.
And the different reason is that you were saying earlier that you were perhaps willing to help people get appointments. And I'm someone who needs that help with several comorbidities and with hand tremors. It makes it difficult to type fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a computer?
I have a computer.
Okay, well, then I think in your case, the extension, on the browser that simply reloads the page over and over again so that you don't have to type anything?
I'm adding that, and I'm computer semi-literate, and I could not get it to work.
But do you have Chrome?
I do have Chrome. I did try while this show was on.
Okay, how far did you get?
I think I installed it, but it didn't work to do that on the page, and I also don't know how to turn it off.
Well, it's pretty simple. Go to a test page; any page will do. And there should be a little icon somewhere where your extensions are. If you click on that, you should see the tab auto refresh icon show up. Click on that,
I did that,
and you'll see a timer that will say how many seconds do you want to pass, and you simply put a 2 at the end of it, so it says 2 seconds or 0 2 seconds, and it should go at that point.
I did that.
Okay, and
it didn't work for me.
Did you maybe have to restart the web browser once you
I don't think you have to. I didn't have to restart mine.
It's a long shot. I'm just curious.
Is it possible it was working and you couldn't tell it was working because the same page kept showing up over and over again?
I don't think so.
That's another possibility.
I've tried re-clicking and re-clicking and re-clicking things, and you can tell that it's re-showing.
Well, I mean, that is the process to get an extension to work. You install it, you click on it, you run it, you set the values, and then you go to the page. That should work. And if for some reason it's not, I suggest trying it again. Try reinstalling it, you know, or maybe
okay,
you're...
It says refresh in interval seconds, and I've just set it at 2. And it's got 2 things here that you can click on. Bypass cache and reset tab.
Okay. I don't have it in front of me. I don't recall seeing that. You guys out there in Skype land, any advice here?
Well, I would say if it doesn't work one way, then try it the other way.
Yeah, you want to bypass the cache, I think.
I didn't ask me that. Bypass the cache.
It seems like something you'd want to do in this case, because a cache is something that has been like updated and kept locally or some way not changing. You want it to change.
It's gone back to see if you may be eligible.
Okay.
Instead of showing what is what's available, which was nothing. It's gone back to get started, which is just what I don't want it to
do. that happens if I believe if you enter any data in on that page, you have to just refresh that page. If you go back in any way or click on anything else,
it did it all by itself.
Now you're on the New York State page, correct, or the New York City
yes,
page?
I am.
Okay, because. If you're in New York City, you should be using a different system.
I am in New York City, but I'm specifically trying to get the Javits Center.
Okay.
Is New York State.
Are you using the New York State site to do that?
Yes.
That's covid19vaccine.health.ny.gov.
No. Am I eligible covid19 vaccine health ny.gov?
Okay.
Public pre-screener.
I don't think we're talking about the same site. For the way it worked for me, I went to covid19vaccine.health.ny.gov. Okay? Go to that page. We'll wait.
Okay. Let me put you on speakerphone.
This is great. It's like tech support over the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. COVID?
COVID-19 vaccine, one word.
COVID-19 vaccine.
That's the numerals 19, right?
Dot health. Well, who spells it out, Kyle? I've never seen anybody do that. Dot health. Ny. Gov.
You write a $19 check.
Dot health. Dot ny. Gov.
Okay. What do you see?
Hold on. Let me hit return. Get daily COVID-19 and vaccine updates. Sign me up here.
Go to the part where it says, am I eligible?
It's not there.
Okay, hang on. I'm typing it myself. Guys, feel free to fill the dead air while I'm typing.
While this is going on, I'd like to urge our listeners that those of you out there who are computer literate are fully able to do this on behalf of your friends or family who may be in a situation in which they can't easily do this for themselves. And that too is part of the hacker spirit. You know, get out there with your skills and do what you can to make make those around you
this is
have
what
an
it,
easier time of it.
This is what it takes.
I just found out that, caller, if you're trying to get your first vaccine appointment, there are currently no first dose appointments available at the Javits Center.
Well, somebody might cancel because of the weather tomorrow.
No, you're right. People are canceling. Who told you that?
Vaccinefinder.nyc.gov.
Okay.
There is a big red line that says no first dose appointments available at the Javits Center.
That might be true.
Which also, there are none at Citi Field.
That might be true. But again, if somebody cancels, the important thing right now is to get the listener, familiar with the process. Now, if you scroll down on that page, you'll see a picture of a bunch of people in a big room. It says COVID-19 vaccine, safe, effective, free. Do you see that? It's towards the top. It's right underneath the red.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Check eligibility. Click that.
Am I eligible?
Well, you have to click get started at the bottom of the next page.
I went forward and I went back again.
Okay, you have to not do that. Just keep going forward, not back. Now, you should get to a page with a list of locations.
It says check your eligibility, but there's nothing to learn more. Check your eligibility. See if you are eligible. Here's that page.
Okay, you have the list of locations?
No, they want my birthday.
Okay, wait, you're ahead of me. Yes. Okay, again, this information does not have to be valid. It's not carried over. So put, say you were born in 1899. It doesn't matter. Well, don't say that. That might not work. But just put in a birth date that makes you old enough, over 65. Click whatever sex you want to click. Say you work in the state of New York, you live in the state of New York, and give a New York zip code. That should take you a couple of seconds.
Submitting it. Locate providers. Okay. And yes, it says Javits Center, no appointments available currently.
Okay.
Well, maybe look for a backup.
I was going back to get started again. Why did it do that?
Hang on. You clicked I consent and you went to submit. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then you clicked on locate providers. All right.
Yeah, but
did you click on Javits Center, right? Did you click on schedule your vaccine appointment? That's what you have to.
I have to fill out the
get. No. You have to click on schedule your vaccine appointment. That is the whole key here. All right. If you click on that, you'll go to another page, and that page will say no appointments available. You have to get to that page. That's the page you want to reload.
It blinked, and I went through it again, and that very link that you told me to click on,
mm-hmm.
I saw it, and as I reached for it, it went to a different page again, and now I have to add everything again.
Well, it's not that much. It takes a couple of seconds to just enter. You live in the state of New York, next time you'll see a list. Click on schedule.
Do you have that refresh plugin running right now?
Well, right now I just want to get it to the point where she gets to the right page.
But if it's on, it could be disrupting what she's trying to do.
Oh,
you want to tell her to turn it off.
I don't know if it is on. I thought it wasn't on. Is your page refreshing every 2 seconds?
Maybe.
Oh, boy.
Turn that off. Turn it off until you get to this page she's
talking
about.
Click on the extension, and you'll see an option to stop. Definitely do that.
It says refresh interval. It's got zero at the moment.
I don't know what that means.
How do I turn it off? It doesn't say anything for turning it off.
Okay, so it is off.
So it might not be on. If it was zero, you wouldn't be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so it's
you have to get to the right page. So you're at the page now where you're entering the info, right?
Locate providers.
Okay, you're at that page. Stop. You're at that page, right?
Yeah.
Do you see Javits Center as the first entry?
No, it had no entries until I clicked, and now it's gone back to get started.
Oh, boy. I don't know how much longer I can do this for. Look, once you click from the last page, you'll be on a page that says Locate Providers, all right? It'll ask for a zip code at that point, distance from. The first, if you type 10001, the first one will be Javits Center. On that, under that section, how to schedule appointment, click on schedule your vaccine appointment. Once you do that.
Right now I'm at the page, locate providers, and it's blank.
Did you enter a zip code?
Shall I click on locate providers?
Did you enter a zip code?
No, there's no place to enter it yet.
If you're on the locate providers page, which you are, correct?
Click locate providers.
Oh, boy.
There's no place to put a zip code. Right now it says, thank you for providing your information based on what you've told us. You're eligible to receive a black vaccine, blah, blah, blah. And it has two buttons, go back or locate providers.
Okay, click on locate providers.
Okay.
And you should see.
I saw it. It had my zip code already pre-entered.
Okay.
And then it disappeared and went back to see if you may be eligible.
Okay. You know what? Maybe you have the extension set so that that page reloads over and over again. If you click your extension again, and see if there is a way of turning it off from this point.
So I have to go back to that.
No, don't go back to the page. Stay on that. Stay on that page, and click on the.
I'm already back.
It already pushed her back.
I have to enter my stuff all over again.
Okay, you know, maybe uninstall the extension. That way, it won't interfere at all.
Okay, how do I uninstall the extension?
I'll leave someone else to explain that. I'm taking a drink.
You want to go to the right side on your browser, and there's probably some lines, like the three-line thingy, or some place where you get a menu, and I think there is a item listed when you click on that that will tell you about extensions. And then it'll open a tab and list whatever extensions are there, and you might be able to just turn a switch, like, to disable it momentarily without installing it, without uninstalling it.
Right now, I would suggest uninstalling it, just so that we can get to the point where you can reload.
Okay, I'm removing from Chrome.
Yes, remove it. You can always get it again.
Tab auto refresh, remove.
But you see where you have a little bit of control there in your browser to turn it on and off.
So now you know how to get rid of it if it ever malfunctions.
Yeah, that was a mistake, and probably the culprit.
Probably.
Okay.
This is fun working in customer service. You know, when you work in customer service, you have to resolve the problem. You can't hang up. You don't have a telephone. You're just connected into the system, and when the other person hangs up, that's when you're free to go to the next one. That's how it works.
Okay, I'm now at locate providers with my zip code.
Okay.
An update and. No Javits Center, no appointments available.
Okay, now look above that, you'll see schedule your vaccine appointment, two lines above that. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay, click schedule your vaccine appointment. You should get a page that says in big letters, no appointments available. Do you see that?
Yes, I do.
That is the page you need to be reloading. So when you reinstall that extension, make sure this page is reloaded every 2 seconds or however many seconds. In your case, maybe a little bit longer. If an appointment opens up, you'll see it. Then you stop that extension and proceed.
I could not figure out how to stop the extension.
That's going to be tricky.
Then in your case, maybe just keep hitting reload a bunch of times. It's one icon. You just have to keep pressing it.
Well, Kent...
But as I said, I have an intention tremor, and so I wouldn't be able to type.
F5 works, right? You could refresh with F5.
What's the difference between pressing an icon and hitting F5? it's still pressing with your finger.
Yeah, I don't know. The button feel might be different.
Well, the important thing is we got you to this page, and I feel like that's an accomplishment. So
you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Page 4.
You know, New York City, the New York City site that we talked about earlier, I think that is easier. I think you'll get an appointment quicker that way. So I would suggest checking the New York City site. But listen, we got to move on. We have other people waiting for to make calls. I hope it works out. It will eventually. So just be patient and check in next week. We like to see next week if you.
When there were 20 appointments at one time slot, how am I going to be able to get one cancellation before somebody else gets it?
Well, keep in mind, more will become available, and this won't be an issue. Probably in another week or two, we'll laugh at this, and it won't even be a problem to get appointments. That's my hope, anyway. And look, best of luck. But we're gonna move on. Thanks for your call. Wow. Okay. Do we have an open line? Oh, come on. Okay. I guess that's what happens when you have the phone line up with nobody on it. All right. I learned something. Well, thanks for your help, guys. Everybody's just staring and rolling on the floor, thinking that this is funny. That look, everybody's going through this, all right? And you have to be patient, and you have to try and help people. These are the challenges. We're hackers. We can figure it out. We can explain it to people. Alex?
I wasn't laughing. I don't think anybody was laughing at this, rolling on the floor laughing or anything. But, I think patience is a virtue with all of this. We have to remember that. And it underscores what Rob was talking about towards the end of the actual Off the Hook show, which is that this can be really a very difficult process, right? And imagine if you're a person who is from another generation, several generations back, and you don't even have a computer.
Mm-hmm.
You've just got a telephone, or you have some kind of mobile device or a tablet. These things are incredibly difficult to navigate, and I think we need teams of people that are offering their services to try to help others that cannot do this themselves, because it is a really, really tricky process. And the fact that, and this really goes back to my point as well, that I think if there was some kind of framework in place
mm-hmm.
that made this in some sense consistent across counties, across states, whatever, some kind of consistency in the process, then people would be less confused. I mean, I think the last 17 minutes of Off the Hook Overtime demonstrated that this is a tough, difficult process.
That was 17 minutes?
It flew by.
Wow. Yeah. It felt like 5 minutes. Or maybe 12, but no more than that.
I think it's a great thing to help people on, and this will be a record forever immemorialized.
Alex, what you're saying, I agree with some of it and I disagree with some of it. I think if it was all the same system, people would still be getting confused, but they'd all be getting confused in the same way. And if there was a vulnerability, that vulnerability would affect everybody, not just some. I kind of like having lots of different systems because there are advantages to some, disadvantages to others, and we can learn and develop better systems based on that. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hey, Hack5190 from Wyoming. How are you?
How you doing? Oh, you're the guy with the highway problem, right?
Yeah, highway problem, fuel taxes problem, automated systems.
Right. How's that working out?
We've got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, we're working on it. So, Alex was a big help, got me in contact with some folks at the EFF, and they're giving me some suggestions. So we've got a lot of communications going there. But I called you this evening to talk about something that Alex had mentioned, which was Pennsylvania and their registration system for vaccines for COVID-19.
Right.
My dad lives there. He's over 80. And he lives in a county which I've run into the same problem that Alex described. When I go there, it's upon me to click on every drugstore and every supermarket that's on that map to try to figure out, who has a vaccine. But I will say that some counties in Pennsylvania do have health departments. And those, I don't know where Alex's parents are at or how far they can travel or are willing to travel, but if you can locate one of those counties that has a health department, you can do a central registration with the health department instead of every individual little, business and drugstore. And that may be an easier way for him to find, so that they can get a vaccine.
Yeah, I think that's a great recommendation. And further to that point, I think having local accounts with medical providers can also help. This is something we didn't mention during the show, but I think is worth mentioning now. You know, for instance, you know, I have an account with NYU Langone, and I'm constantly getting updates from them about availability, vaccine appointments, et cetera. And that's a more centralized way to deal with this. But the decentralized nature of having to click on every single drugstore on this map, especially if you're on a mobile device, is absolutely maddening. And then if you find one that actually has an appointment available, you click on the appointment, and then you have to enter in duplicative information to actually reserve that appointment. All the information that you just entered into the website, you then have to re-enter again. And by the time you finish that process, the actual appointment is usually gone. So it's, you know, it's a game of whack-a-mole. I think to an extent right now, I think we have to get a little bit lucky to get a vaccine appointment or be willing to travel. And hopefully, you know, your father gets one soon. You know how to get in touch with me. If I can help in any way, just send me a ping.
Alex, I do think that in some cases, maybe most cases, the information you enter at the beginning doesn't really get passed along. So you can enter just whatever information you want to make sure that you qualify. And then when you actually get the appointment, you enter the real information. That doesn't help you as far as trying to type fast, because you actually have to make it to the submit button before somebody else does. Unless the system, and maybe somebody can help prove this, if you click on a time and you get to the point where you're entering data, maybe that sort of reserves it for you. And you have a certain amount of time, or, you know, I don't know if it's a free-for-all at that point. Based on when we try to sell tickets for Hope and the complaints that we get from people who don't make it in time, it seems like being told that, okay, you're in, and then by the time you're finished, no, you're not, we might be looking at a system like that. Again, knowing the software would be very helpful, because then we'd know the weaknesses.
Yeah, and one of the other things I noticed is that, especially in the county where my dad lives, a lot of those agencies that are listed on the map, they allow you to sign up on a waiting list, but they don't share waiting lists among them. So you could invest, you know, 2-3 days going through and registering and putting PII into how many different people's hands just to try to get one vaccine. It's a really deplorable system that Pennsylvania has at this moment.
Well, again, let's hope it gets better with more doses coming, with more people vaccinated, with the overall health improving. It's got to get better. Can't get worse. Really can't. But we have to keep trying. We have to keep persevering. Alex, go ahead.
I think it is going to get better. And you know, I've seen a lot of indications of this just in terms of the palliative care for the virus itself. And I think we're going to see a larger influx of additional vaccines over the next several months as well. And possibly from sources that weren't very highly publicized in the past, maybe some companies that we haven't heard of, or drugs that we haven't necessarily been tracking or following. And I think with all of this coming to the market, let's say hopefully in the spring, we will reach a critical mass of vaccine supplies to the effect that we won't have to deal with these crazy systems and trying to type fast or schedule appointments or refresh zip codes, things like that, will hopefully be a thing of the past within the next couple of months. So I think if we're patient, there will be some influx. And I also think, too, that there is some merit to thinking about delaying, from a policy standpoint, the second dosage of vaccines. I've been reading some scientific literature about these booster shots. They're essentially booster shots. If you look at the Moderna vaccine in particular, you have about an 80% efficacy rate after the first vaccination shot. That's what I've been reading over the last couple of days, which is pretty high. And if you're not holding back that additional vaccine, you can get more people to the 80% level more quickly than you otherwise would have if you were holding back that second vaccine dose. And there's some wisdom to holding back those vaccines, because there's literature coming out from the UK that indicates that the longer the time period between the initial shot and the booster shot, which is what the second shot is, the greater the efficacy of the vaccine. So right now with the Moderna shot, we're waiting 28 days for the booster shot. But if we waited 56 days, we may have a higher than 94% efficacy rate. We just don't know yet. But I like the idea of getting more people at the level of 80% vaccinated, or 80% efficacy for the vaccine, a larger portion of the population, than a smaller percentage at 94.1%.
Again, all that information is subject to interpretation, and there are different kinds of vaccine out there. So it could vary. Follow the advice of medical professionals. And again, as we get more doses, this will become less of an issue. And the important thing is, make sure you get that second dose at some point, and follow the advice that you're given.
And make sure it's the same as the first one you got.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. What happens if you get one of one and one of the other? First of all, I think there's a system in place that'll prevent you from doing that, hopefully. I was also thinking, what happens to somebody who decides, I'm going to get this vaccine in Pennsylvania and this one in New York just to be extra safe? You know, I think you deserve whatever happens to you at that point, but I don't think that's a good idea at all. Go ahead, Rob.
This is all just really fascinating how we're all figuring out as we go along and how we're all dealing with it. But yeah, I want to reiterate what you guys just said, which is listen to the medical professionals who actually know what they're talking about. Don't decide not to vaccinate because of something someone forwarded you on social media that comes from somewhere that's not reputable. I think I may have mentioned this a week or two ago on this program, but I was thinking, okay, I'm eligible for the vaccine, but should I hold back? Should I hold off on getting my dose if they say I'm eligible? Because would I be taking that dose away from someone else? And had a little crisis of conscience about it. But after talking it over with people who know what they're talking about regarding these things, I really feel like, no, if you have the chance to get your vaccine, no matter what your situation, get your vaccine, because it's not just for you, it's for all the people around you, and it's for herd immunity, and it's a matter of personal responsibility to get it, just like wearing your mask. It's a matter of personal responsibility, and it's for not just yourself, but those around you.
Yeah, and again, you may raise a good point. If you are eligible, if you're not eligible, don't cut the line. If you are, get the vaccine. It's really simple.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call, and good luck out there.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, take care. I just want to ask people here, when do you think we'll be able to just walk down the street like normal? When do you think that day will come? I know it's not going to be one day, but when do you think we'll be able to just, go out, go to the studio, go out after the show, hang out in the city, talk to people, not have to wear masks? Alex, when do you think that'll happen?
I think it will optimistically be in the fall of 2021.
Okay.
I see us still slogging through the vaccination process over the summer. I think we can also expect, because the vaccination process, as we detailed so abundantly today, is a bit of a botched job across different states, because it's taking so long, we can expect additional variants of the virus to come out. There may be a New York variant. We have got the UK and the South African variant. And during our show, I think Dr. Fauci was on CNN stating that it does seem like the current vaccines are effective against these new variants, which is absolutely great news when it comes to establishing herd immunity. But the sooner we do that, the better, because the later we do that, the more likely we are going to have variants. And those variants are going to be what keeps us in masks, and what keeps us socially distancing, and what keeps us away from each other, and keeps us out of the goddamn studio. I really want to get back to the studio. I really want to go out to dinner with you guys and clink glasses. So my prediction is fall 2021. Maybe 2022, but I also think that we're going to be somewhat gun shy about being around people psychologically, to go from being in a mask for 18 months or so to just taking it off and going into a restaurant and socializing is going to be somewhat jarring. So I think we're going to still see a lot of people out there who are going to be extra cautious. The other thing to consider is that these vaccines have an efficacy rate of 94 or 95%, which means there's a 5% chance that you could still get COVID-19. And I think that's going to keep people rather cautious until we have established very efficacious palliative care for the virus itself.
Well, the important thing, I thought the same thing, Alex, the important thing to remember with that 5% that it doesn't work upon, look at the percentage of people who suffer complications as a result of COVID. And then factor that into, okay, there's only 5% of everybody will get the virus, and of that, the same percentage will have complications, the number gets even smaller. So yeah, that's a problem, but it's not going to be an overwhelming problem, I don't believe.
Yeah, and apparently the vaccines themselves will lessen the effects of having the virus. So even if you get it, you know, supposedly, and again, listen to the advice of medical professionals, not me, the symptoms are supposed to be less severe.
And the other thing is, if 95% of people it's effective on, who are you going to get the virus from? It has to be from another one of those 5% that it's not effective on. So it gets harder to get the virus. So I do think we'll be in better shape. Gila, you had something?
Well, I was curious because I'm thinking about variants and I'm thinking about the flu shot and how the flu shot has to be adjusted every year. And I'm wondering if, as more people are saying, this is going to become endemic and we're just going to have to learn to live with it, is there going to be a COVID-19 vaccination season every year? You know, at my office, we have a flu shot clinic. And you can go into one meeting room and everybody gets a flu shot the same day. And I'm wondering if it's going to be that kind of a situation going forward.
It's, you know, there is a flu season. It's every season is COVID season. I think really it depends on what the virus does after. The next move will be the viruses after people get vaccinated. How it reacts, how it morphs into other things will determine, do we need more protection against this? Or is this enough? Have we stopped it? So it's a good question and something that we will learn. But Gila, I need to know when you think things will become normal.
Oh, goodness. I agree with Alex. I think we'll start creeping more toward normalcy in the fall. But when you said we'll be out and about without masks, I don't see that happening for a really long time. I think about when you would see tourists who are coming in specifically from Asia who were wearing masks on the street in New York City. I think it might become a thing that just is a thing now. We'll be less cautious about taking them off in less public situations, but I could see people wearing masks outside for a really long time to come.
So when do you see that stopping?
I don't know that I do, honestly.
You think for the rest of our lives we'll be walking around wearing masks?
Maybe not for the rest of our lives, but I could see it, especially, you know, if air quality doesn't get better, I could see it for both reasons.
I agree with you. I agree with Gia on this.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I've been thinking about a lot as well. Like, okay, say, you know, we fast forward to when COVID is no longer the threat it is now. Everyone's got their vaccines, and we have herd immunity and everything else. And we are still going to have to do a lot of adjusting. We have spent the past year now socially distancing, isolating, quarantining, all that good stuff. And we have to take into account the mental health concerns and the, like, when are we going to be comfortable in a crowd again? I know when this started hitting and I had to still ride a crowded public transport to work and be shoulder to shoulder with people and realize, wait, maybe this isn't such a good thing. Those days are gone now, but like, when are we going to actually feel comfortable again, like in general? And that seems to me like it's going to be an even longer time than it takes for all of us to get our vaccines. I think there are going to be jitters. There's going to be anxiety around this whole thing. And yeah, I think you'll probably still see people who choose to adopt mask wearing as a precaution permanently.
I think there'll be a whole field opened up for post-COVID stress syndrome, seriously, because people are going through something traumatic. That's why it's so important for us to remain in touch, to listen to people, to be sympathetic, because this isn't something that only a certain group of people are going through. We're all going through this, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. We're all going through this, and we need to be there for each other, and I think that will make things so much easier. Yes, Alex?
Well, something I saw recently, which I thought was, you know, weirdly prescient and really, I think, hammers home Gila's point, is that I recently rewatched the Japanese animation film Akira, which is set in this post-apocalyptic cyberpunk future. And it was from the late 80s. I think Akira was from the late 80s, like 1988 or 1989, but it was set in 2019. the futuristic post-apocalyptic cyberpunk world of 2019. And you can see this right at the beginning of the show. So many of the people that are walking around Japan at that time, they're all wearing face masks. This is what they predicted in the late 80s, is that the world would become so polluted, or there'd be, you know, health issues, and all of these motorcycle gang enthusiasts, they're all wearing these face masks that are eerily similar to what we all have to wear today. So, you know, something to be learned from Japanese animation of the late 80s.
Yeah, we're not done yet either. I mean, this is something that has become a necessity, but I mean, the kinds and quantity and functionalities of masks from now until the future, until they're even more necessary, like for space travel and so forth, there's no limit to what people can design and come up with. And I know we looked into this for various ideas and inspiration over the years, and have been fascinated by some of the leaps and bounds with augmented reality and the cool things that people are building around those types of technology. And now we're actually demanding that life go on in a virtual way. So in weird ways, we are very well suited as a community, I think, to build cool things that deal with a lot of what's coming at us very quickly, and maybe make things that are not bulky or not more comfortable or more functional or safer or cheaper, easier for people to access, or have more sensors. Who knows? So, I mean, it's really going to take on a different direction. Just look at what was done to ramp up PPE when we just didn't have any, and there's still problems with lab supplies and scientific materials now, to say nothing of the testing and stuff, and even the fact that Gila brought up that it could be endemic is really sad. Had we been able to contain this, had we some kind of warning, had we not let cruise ship people just like go wherever, like, we maybe wouldn't have to face that. But now that we do, it seems like this is going to be an area of innovation. Face coverings and sanitization.
Rob, Kyle, quickly, when do you think things will go back to normal? Rob, you first.
I feel like maybe a year from now. I feel like it might be another year.
Another year. Okay, Kyle?
I feel like those months, the vaccine program well underway and behind us, maybe some new programs that address things like Alex raised, like the national programming as far as how to integrate scheduling or make things easier for the future, stockpiling, manufacturing, all those little things we realized in the face of this will be just barely started to be something we can focus on instead of the immediate concerns, everybody's health and rolling out vaccines. So I feel like it'll look a little bit normal after that vaccine program is something that we're learning from and using the things learned for the future. When it's in the rearview mirror, I think that it'll appear that way, but it won't really be that way in all ways, and we will not look at it in much the same way. There's perhaps a certain sort of trauma that is going to be associated with this for a lot of different reasons, for a lot of different people. For many people, it's a culmination of a lot of different issues, and that's why it's important to keep the discussion going, keep reflecting on what's going on in your community and in your family and with you. But to be hopeful and to try to be inspired, to try to stay motivated. So I think, 5 years maybe, but a year is...
5 years before things are back to normal?
A year is really soon. Maybe 2 years. Hmm. I don't know.
Wow.
Think about it. We were thinking that 2021 we would have all of this sort of in the past.
Well,
from
the beginning, I was hearing 12 to 18 months. And they came up with a vaccine pretty damn quickly. So, I don't know. You know, it seems like it's not that off from what the possibilities were first explained to us. From scientists, that is. From people
it's definitely
that
not
knew
the
what
worst,
they were talking about.
It's definitely not the worst case scenario as far as time.
Well, it's also not the worst case scenario as far as virus. Because imagine a virus that really was was fatal to most people, and they have existed. You know, the Black Death and all that. These things can and will happen. This is a barometer of how we will perform in situations like that. We'll panic, we'll hoard, we'll deny, we'll make all these mistakes. So this is a big warning, I think, to everybody for when the real death virus comes. Might not be in our lifetimes, hopefully it's not. But at some point there will be something really bad. But Kyle, you said 5 years? That's your prediction?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many different ways to look at it. It's a spherical conversation.
Well,
there's
let me say
angles.
I've sort of a two-pronged answer. I think we'll start seeing a lot more openness, a lot of people going outside, maybe still wearing masks, but feeling a lot more comfortable towards the end of the summer. I'm going to be very optimistic and say that. But as far as going back to the way we were, I don't see that happening until we take some cautious steps into next winter. And, you know, when people expect to get sick and see that not many people are getting sick from this. And I think that's when a lot more people will become comfortable. There certainly will be a lot of people who won't be comfortable for a long time. But I don't think everybody's going to react in the same way. I think, you know, most of us will be comfortable by the winter. Or in the winter next year, or later this year, and other people will feel the effects for a long time to come, and still others will feel better sooner. Go ahead, Gila.
Well, I guess my question also is, what are we calling normal? You know, there are things that we had become to mm-hmm. which we had become accustomed that are not good, but they are the way that the world was operating, and there are also things that maybe, you know, the way that the world has been operating work better for people in a way. I'm thinking about people working from home more. I'm thinking about, you know, you don't have to put on stockings and heels 5 days a week, as an example.
Speak for yourself.
What is normal and how do we redefine normal going forward? But the other thing I was thinking about, especially in light of what we're talking about in Texas, is the way that we look at so many things right now is this cult of rugged American individualism. And because that piece of it has been so part and parcel of the way that we've dealt with a pandemic, but also I don't know if you saw the statement that the former apparently mayor of Colorado Springs, Texas made on social media, Colorado City, Texas.
I did hear about this. Why don't you repeat it?
Where he basically said, we're not in the business of giving handouts to people. And if you don't have power, you have to deal with it. And I'm not going to help anybody if you're not going to help yourself. Basically, it was bootstrap your way to fixing the power grid.
Well, I think he also says something like the strong will survive and the weak will perish.
Yeah,
And the weak weren't that weak and they didn't take kindly to that remark.
Exactly. All of it. But if it becomes you get yours and everything else, I mean, maybe that's a part of normal that we need to rethink going forward.
Absolutely. Alex, go ahead.
To Gila's question, I think that we can consider society back to normal when investment bankers have no fear about snorting coke off of the toilet seat in an annoying club with music that's way too loud. When we're back to investment bankers snorting coke off toilet seats, then I think we're back to normal.
And who's going to tell us when that's happening?
You have to, I guess, get some friends in finance if you don't have any.
So I'll never know.
I just want to point out that's a disgusting thing to do, and we here at Off the Hook are not endorsing investment banking at all.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. All right. Anything else, guys? We don't have somebody on hold, do we, all this time? I want to make sure.
No, I mean, you could give the number out.
No, we have that strange noise. I mean, we have to get out of here. We have things to do. But I want to thank people for calling in. Alex, looks like you have something to say.
Yeah, I feel like we falsely advertised that we were going to be making some phone calls of our own. So perhaps we can table looking at some of the fraudulent COVID-19 vaccine scheduling websites and put that on the agenda for OTH overtime next week.
Yes, I'll put you in charge of that. How about that?
Sounds great.
Okay. Anything else, guys? Rob, Gila?
Just continuing to send, our thoughts to people, friends, family, listeners, everyone in Texas going through something that's really not easy right now. I heard from a friend over social media that apparently flushing your toilet with melted snow works if you need to. So, you know, we're thinking of you.
That is
we certainly
something.
Are.
Well, the importance of infrastructure. I mean, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but in Canada, these things don't happen. In Norway, Sweden, you know, don't listen to people who have an agenda and tell you that windmills don't work in the cold. They do. They work very well. You'll get through this. We'll all get through the very crises we're going through right now. We will hang out. We will do fun things. And I think it'll be in the fairly near future. Again, vaccine info, if you have info you want to share with a particular system in your state or country or whatnot, let us know. Give us information. We'll look into it, see if we have any insight. OTH@2600.com. We will be back next week with Off the Hook at 7, Off the Hook Overtime at 8. And until then, stay hacking and whatever else. Alex?
Just good night, everybody. Stay safe.
Until next time.
Goodbye.